This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amin ya rabbil alamin. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ijtinaba. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'a. Warina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinaba. Oh Allah, show us truth is truth and give us the ability to follow it. And show people miss the Quran and people miss the Qiyam and the Taraweeh, right? Everyone went through that post-Ramadan depression. Now, alhamdulillah, when we got to this critical time where we feel like our iman needs to be recharged, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted us with these glorious, blessed days in which rewards are multiplied and magnified and sins are forgiven, inshaAllah. The days in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preferred over all other days, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another chance to get closer to Him, to worship Him, to seek His forgiveness, and to try to make up for our shortcomings. He subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with these days which are the most beloved days to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, where deeds are multiplied and magnified. These days that are so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself swears by them. وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. By the dawn and by the 10 nights. Ibn Kathir said that the 10 nights are referring to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And this was also the opinion that was held by Ibn Hajar says in Fath al-Bari, the most apparent reason for the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah being distinguished in excellence is due to the assembly of the greatest acts of worship in this period. What are they? The Salah. These are the days where you pray in, right? The Siyam. We're going to talk about that. The charity, right? And on Eid, what do? We do a sacrifice. Hajj. It's the only time of the year where what? People can perform Hajj. And in no other period of the year can we combine all of these good deeds. So that was why Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said that these days are the most blessed days. So Hajj, subhanallah. What about all those who can't go to Hajj? And what if I tell you that he told us that we can do things to get similar reward. Yes, a similar reward to that of the Hajjaj, inshaAllah. How is that, you may ask? Inshallah, I'm going to tell you. But before we talk about the five easy good deeds that the Prophet ﷺ told us about that we can do to get the reward like that of Hajj and Umrah, there is a prerequisite. There is a prerequisite. I want you to imagine that it's the Day of Judgment, and you're so excited. It partners with him, except for the person in whose heart there's hatred or resentment against their Muslim brother or sister. It will be said, put both of them off until they are reconciled. I know it's hard. I know it's so hard to forgive those people who hurt you. Believe me, I know. I know so much that I actually wrote an article about it. You could read it on my website. The Power of Forgiveness. So much so that I actually created a full class called Redemption. How to heal yourself with the power of forgiveness. I know it's hard. But you know what? Because it's hard, the reward is what? Forgiveness from Allah and Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah number 24, Ayah number 22, for those who are taking notes, Surah An-Nur, let them pardon and overlook. Would you not like that Allah should forgive you? And Allah is forgiving and merciful. Why? With him, and he notices he doesn't do anything extra. So he was so confused, so he went to the man, he's like, listen, I came to spend some days with you because the Prophet ﷺ for 3 days in a row said that you are a person of Jannah, but I don't see you doing anything special. I really don't see that you're doing anything special, anything extra. And the man said, my deeds are nothing more than what you saw. But the only thing that I do is that I don't hold any grudges against my Muslim brother or sister. And I don't envy anyone for the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them. And then Ibn Umar said, this is a difficult quality to obtain, and this is what granted you that high rank. So inshallah, let's take a minute right now to forgive those people who hurt us, not because they necessarily deserve it, but because we want Jannah, because we want to be forgiven, because each and every one of us has done something that we wish that Allah will forgive, right? We all know what our sins are. None of us know each other's sins, but we know that each one of us has done something that we really wish that Allah would forgive. Let's forgive right now so that our deeds can be presented to Allah. Let's forgive for ourselves, for Allah, not for the person who hurt us, not because they deserve it, so that Allah can forgive us, be pleased with us, so that Allah could reward us for it, and so that inshallah we can be in Jannah. So take some time out today and really think deeply about those people who have hurt you. And tell Allah, Ya Allah, I forgive them for your sake. I forgive them, Ya Allah, so that you can forgive me. I forgive them, Ya Allah, so that you can accept my good deeds, so that they're not thrown back right at me. I forgive them, Ya Allah, so that you can grant me Jannah. And you'll see how much peace you will find, subhanAllah. You know, I read this quote once, it's an amazing quote. Holding on to a grudge is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Because, okay, you're so angry at that person. Is that affecting them? Who is it affecting?
Yourself.
Yourself. You know, if you go on my website and you see the article, there are so many physical ill effects of holding on to grudges. Physical. Your heart, your blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, your thyroid gland, your adrenal glands. Why? Because adrenal glands do what? When you're stressed out, they secrete hormones. And imagine that chronic stressor of you always thinking about what? That person that hurt you. Let go. Let go for yourself, not for them. And remember that we believe in the Day of Judgment. And we believe that nobody who harmed us is getting away with it. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the one who will what? Who will judge them and who will punish them for what they did to you. Maybe you might forget in 10 years what they did, but Allah never forgets. Everything is written. So inshallah, let's take some time out today and really truly forgive everyone who's hurt us for the sake of Allah. Now, let's go back to our 5 easy good deeds that inshallah equal the reward of Hajj. Now, let me make a disclaimer. Equaling in reward of Hajj does not take away the obligation of going for Hajj, right? So it doesn't mean that when you do this, it replaces the obligation of Hajj, of the 5 pillars of Islam, right? Okay, this is just to get great reward. Bismillah. Oh, and by the way, I've made for you all this beautiful sheet that you can download on my website and print that has all the things and a checklist so that you can check it off. Put it on your refrigerator and every day check off what you're doing for the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Bismillah. So number one, purify your intentions and make them very sincere. How am I going to get Hajj by pure intentions? Listen to this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the likeliness of this nation is like that of 4 different types of people. I'm only going to tell you about the first 2 types because of the time. Number one, a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them wealth and knowledge. So he or she acts according to their knowledge with regards to their wealth, spending it as it should be spent in the pleasure of their Lord. Meaning, they have knowledge, but they also have wealth. You know, Hajj this year is very expensive, subhanAllah. Packages are starting at 10,000, where what, 5 years ago, they used to be 3,000-4,000. So we don't have the wealth to go to Hajj. But look what the Prophet ﷺ said. he said that the person who has the wealth and the knowledge, so the person, they have wealth, they have the knowledge, so they go for Hajj and they spend the $15,000 on that Hajj package. The Prophet ﷺ said, this person is in the most excellent station. They're the highest type of person. They use their wealth and their knowledge to please Allah. But where does the intention come in? Look at the second type of person. Prophet ﷺ said, and the second type of person is a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives knowledge, but doesn't give them wealth. So that person says, if I had the wealth like that person, I would do that too. The Prophet ﷺ said, they will be equal in reward. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, my mom's going to Hajj. I can't go to Hajj. I read this hadith and I go, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, I want to be like her. Another hadith. It was narrated in Bukhari by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He said, we were coming back from the battle of Tabuk when the Prophet ﷺ said, there are people whom we left behind in Medina. They didn't come with us, but they accompanied us in spirit. In their intention, they wish they could have came with us, but they couldn't. The Prophet ﷺ said, they got the reward for every path we went through, and every valley we went through, and every mountain we climbed, because they remained back for a valid excuse. Now, we all have different reasons why we couldn't make it for Hajj. For some of us, it might be financial. For some of us, it might be our children or our husband. For some of us, it might be a debt. For some of us, it might be an illness. But guess what? Inshallah, if we keep our hearts attached to Hajj and we keep our sincere, pure intentions that we really wished we could have gone, we'll be like those people. The one that the Prophet ﷺ said had the knowledge but didn't have the means. Or like these Sahaba who they wished they could have gone out to the Battle of Tabuk, but they couldn't because they didn't have the means. So inshallah, let's do that. Let's have a sincere intention. Let's wish and long for going to Hajj. And inshallah, we're going to get that reward. You know, the scholars used to say, تَعَلَّمُ النِّيَّةِ فَإِنَّ النِّيَّةَ أَبْلَغُ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ. Learn how to have pure, sincere intentions. Because a pure, sincere, good intention can be greater or better than action. Can someone please close that door? Jazakallah khairan. So that was number one, having a pure and sincere intention. Number two, praying fajr in the masjid, making dhikr and dua until sunrise. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever plays fajr in congregation and then sits remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the sun rises and then prays two rak'at, will have their reward like that of hajj and umrah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in full. Tamma, like a complete hajj. Because you know, some people, they go to hajj and they don't get anything, right? Because what? They hit people, they get angry, they curse, they do something that they're not supposed to do while they're in ihram, like cut their nails or their hair or have... Do it right now. Make that intention. Don't wait, because shaitan will always tell you to delay. Don't ever delay. And what are you going to do while you're waiting? So you pray fajr, and you sit in your beautiful, AC'd, clean masjid, and you recite Quran. Because we all know the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever recites a letter from the book of Allah, he will be credited with a good deed. And a good deed gets tenfold of the reward. And they do not say that alif, lam, mim is one letter, but any. We were reciting Quran and we were so excited. This is our chance. This is our chance to do that again, inshallah. So inshallah, let's try. And let's have that intention. What else can we do while we're sitting, waiting for the sunrise? Make dhikr. The Prophet ﷺ said, there are no other days that are as great as these days in the sight of Allah. nor are any good deeds more beloved to Allah than those done in these 10 days, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So increase, the Prophet ﷺ is telling you, these are the best days, let me tell you what you need to do. Increase in tahleel, la ilaha illallah, in takbir, Allahu Akbar, and in tahmeed, alhamdulillah. So make dhikr. And you know the beautiful thing about dhikr? Is you can do it at any time and any place. You know Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, they used to go out in the marketplace during the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah and they used to recite takbir. They used to make dhikr in the market. First, because the most hated of places is the market to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, because imagine while everyone's busy with this dunya thinking, at any time while you're cooking, just subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, right? So, make dhikr. What else can we do while we're waiting for the sunrise? Make dua. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best dua is the dua on the day of Arafah. And Arafah is the ninth day of Dhul Hijjah. The Prophet ﷺ said, there's no day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free more people from the fire than on the day of Arafah. Ali radiallahu anhu used to advise the people to say, oh Allah, free my neck from the fire on the day of Arafah. So let's make lots and lots of dua. And let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He blesses us and He forgives us. Let's make dua for our brothers and sisters, because we know the hadith, right? Whoever makes dua for someone else, the angels say, Ameen, and to you something better. So let's make lots of dua. And so we have to wait until the sun rises and wait 15 minutes. So let's say if sunrise is at 7:02, wait until 7:20 and then you pray your 2 rak'at, inshaAllah, and you'll get the reward of Hajj and Umrah, inshaAllah. Number 3, what's the third way we can get the reward of Hajj, inshaAllah? Is a dhikr after salah. Dhikr after salah? Really? Let me tell you this hadith. The poor immigrants came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, the wealthy have gone with the highest ranks and the lasting bliss. He asked, how is that? So they were complaining. They're like, Ya Rasulullah, you know these rich people? They're beating us. They're getting the highest ranks. And the Prophet ﷺ said, how is that? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, they offer salah the same way we offer salah. They pray like us. And they fast the same way we fast. But because they're wealthy, they're able to perform Hajj and Umrah, and they're able to go out to jihad, and they're able to spend in charity. But we can't because we're poor. And Ya Rasulullah, they're able to free slaves, and we can't because we don't have any money. And the Prophet ﷺ said, listen to this. Shall I not teach you of something with which you may overtake those who surpassed you, and with which you will surpass those who will come after you? And that no one will excel you unless they do what you do. And they said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, please tell us. And he said, you should recite tasbih, subhanallah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, tahmeed, alhamdulillah, 33 times after each salah, and you will surpass them. Allahu Akbar. That takes about 3 minutes. Subhanallah, 3 minutes. To make these tasabih, and inshallah you will surpass those who make Hajj and Umrah and go for jihad and free slaves on the Day of Judgment. And we can do that what? After every salah. 5 times a day for the rest of our lives. Subhanallah. You know, when I read these ahadith, you know, I have a class and a workshop called Easy Good Deeds. My favorite thing to teach. Every time I read these ahadith, it's like Allah's begging us to go to Jannah. He's giving us the simplest things that we can do to get these great, huge rewards out of His love and His care for us, because He truly doesn't want to punish us. He gives us something 3 minutes and we get this great reward, subhanAllah. So number 4, what's the fourth thing that we can do to inshallah get a reward like that of Hajj? Prayer in the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ said, if any one of you goes out from their house after performing wudu for the prescribed prayer in congregation, his reward will be like that of one who goes for Hajj pilgrimage after wearing ihram. And in another hadith, and he who goes out to say the mid-morning, the duha prayer, and takes that trouble for his purpose, meaning instead of praying at home, they take that extra trouble and they go to the masjid, will take the reward like that person who performs umrah. And a prayer followed by a prayer with no worldly talk in between will be recorded in Illiyun. Illiyun is the high level of Jannah, right? So if you just spend, let's say for example, between Maghrib and Isha in the masjid without talking to people, just reciting dhikr, a prayer to a prayer, your prayer will be rated and written in Illiyun. SubhanAllah. So in another hadith, whoever walks to perform an obligatory prayer in congregation, it is like that in terms of reward to Hajj. And whoever walks to perform a voluntary prayer is like a voluntary umrah in terms of reward. And this hadith is Hassan. It was narrated by At-Tabarani. So imagine, Ya Allah, how lucky are those who live near to the masjid. And they're able to make wudu in their home and walk. And if you can't, park in front of someone's house that you know and walk, inshallah. Allah knows your intention. Okay, and last but not least, number 5. I think you all know this one. We talk about it. It's our weekly motivation. Learn or teach in the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever goes to the masjid, not desiring except to learn or teach what is good, has the reward of a pilgrim who has completed their hajj. It's hadith in At-Tabarani. And alhamdulillah, we also always discuss the many, many rewards and virtues of coming to the masjid to seek knowledge. So inshallah, I'm not going to spend some time on that. So those are 5 easy good deeds that we can do every day, inshallah, to get the reward like that of Hajj and Umrah. And now I would like to share with you 5 more easy good deeds that we can do during these blessed days and every day to maximize our reward and elevate our status in Jannah, inshallah. Because what did we say? We said 10 good deeds, right? So number 6, Salatul Duha. Let's revive the sunnah of Salatul Duha prayer, which is made after sunrise about 30 minutes and before Dhuhr about 30 minutes. And the Prophet ﷺ used to pray sometimes 2 rakat, sometimes 4 rakat, and sometimes 8 rakat. Why Duha? There's so many virtues, but I'm going to share with you 2. Number 1, it's a charity for every joint in your body. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you get up in the morning, charity is due from every one of your joints. Imagine every joint, a sadaqah is due. It's the right upon your body to give sadaqah on your joints. There is charity in every subhanallah. There is charity in every Allahu Akbar. There is charity in every alhamdulillah. There is charity in every la ilaha illallah. And there is charity in enjoining good and forbidding evil. And the 2 rak'at of duha equal all of that in reward. SubhanAllah. Yes.
Isn't duha and ishraq the same?
Yes.
So this salat is the same that you were talking about? The
yes. After
Fajr. Ishraq.
Duha and ishraq is essentially, yes, the same. Another hadith, and this hadith, I love it. Because I told you guys I love a hadith Qudsi, right? SubhanAllah, Allah's talking to us, right? Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith Qudsi, Son of Adam, perform 4 rak'at for me in the beginning of the day, meaning duha, and it will suffice you for the rest of the day. Imagine Allah sufficing you for the rest of your day by taking 5 minutes out to pray 4 rak'at of duha. So inshallah, let's pray duha. Number 7, let's build for ourselves houses in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, he who observes 12 rak'at of the voluntary sunan, a house will be built for them in paradise. How do you pray these? 2 before Fajr, 4 before Dhuhr, 2 after Dhuhr, 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Isha. SubhanAllah. 12. The 12 sunan, the nawafil, the ones that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray right before and after his fard. If you pray these, a house will be built for you in Jannah. Imagine on these blessed days, you get 10 houses in Jannah. 10 houses in Jannah. What more can we want? What else? Number 8, fasting the 9 days. Not the 10 days, because we can't fast on the 10th day, which is Eid. Fasting the 9 days, especially the day of Arafah, the 9th day. The Prophet ﷺ said, the reward of every good deed of a person is multiplied from 10 to 700. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reward of observing Sawm is different from any other good deed. Sawm, fasting is for me, and I alone will give its reward. The person who observes fasting abstains from food and drink only for my sake. The fasting person has two joyous occasions, one at the time of breaking their fast and another at the time when they meet their Rabb. Imagine, you're going to be happy when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely the breath of one who's fasting is better smelling to Allah than the fragrance of mist. So fasting is something that Allah rewards. We have no idea what that reward is. Subhanallah. It's so great that we can't comprehend that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will reward you for it. In another hadith, every person who fasts just one day for the sake of Allah will take their face farther from the hellfire, the distance that will be covered in 70 years. Imagine you will be 70 years away from the hellfire for every one day. So imagine fasting the 9 days. And if you can't fast all 9 days, at least try to fast Monday and Thursday. At least try to fast the day of Arafah. The Prophet ﷺ said about the day of Arafah, would you not be content with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expiate for you your sins for the year before and the year after Arafah? 2 years of sins forgiven. So let's all make our intentions from right now that we're going to fast these days. So that even if something happens and we can't, we get the reward. Because we know the hadith, right, of the Prophet ﷺ. He said that if someone intends to do a good deed and they do it, they get 2 rewards. But if they intend to do a good deed, but something stops them, they get the reward. SubhanAllah. So make your intention, inshallah, right now. Inshallah, Ya Rab, I'm going to fast these 10 days. These 9 days, excuse me, 9 days. And if I get sick, Ya Allah, Allah knows. If I get, you know, that time of the month where I can't fast, Allah knows. If something happens and I forget, Allah knows. So make your intention, inshallah. Number 9, sadaqah, charity. We all know the virtues of giving sadaqah. So let's try to give a sadaqah every day, even if it's just a dollar. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our intention, right? The Prophet ﷺ said to free yourself, to save yourself from the fire, even with a half of a date. So nobody here can't afford to give a half of a date, right? So let's try to maybe find an orphan that we can sponsor. Feed someone who's hungry. Alhamdulillah, there's so many organizations, you know, and it's so easy to give sadaqah right now. You could just go online, right? And subhanAllah, we forget about these little things that are charities. Like what? Like smiling. Smiling in the face of your Muslim sister is a sadaqah. Shaking hands, your sins fall. SubhanAllah. So sadaqah is such an easy thing that we can do. Right? A good word is sadaqah. The Prophet ﷺ said a good word is sadaqah. Why not send a good word? You know, yesterday, a sister texted me. SubhanAllah, I made dua for her. She's like, Salaam alaikum, I was thinking about you. I just wanted to see how you were doing. Good word. Something sweet. Took her maybe 10 seconds to text me. It made my day. You don't know what the person could be going through and what that good word can do, right? Prophet ﷺ said that a person will say a good word for the pleasure of Allah. They don't really think about it. They're just seeking pleasure from Allah. And that good word will elevate their status 70 degrees in Jannah. SubhanAllah. Good words. It's charity. And last but not least, easy good deed number 10, help someone in need. The Prophet ﷺ said, the most beloved people according to Allah is he who brings most benefit. And the most beloved deeds according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you bring happiness to a fellow Muslim, or you relieve him or her of distress, or you pay off his or her debt, or you stray away hunger from him or her. It is more beloved to me that I walk with my brother in his time of need than I stay secluded in i'tikaf in my masjid for a month. Who of us can go to Medina and make i'tikaf for a month? Not leave the masjid and only worship Allah, only read Quran, only make dua and dhikr for a whole month. None of us. Imagine helping someone in their need is better than i'tikaf in the Prophet's masjid for a month. I'm going to just continue this hadith. Whoever holds back his anger against someone, Allah will cover his faults. And whoever suppresses his fury while being able to execute it, Allah will fill his heart with satisfaction on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. Whoever walks with his brother in need until he establishes that need for him, Allah will establish his feet firmly on the day when all feet shall slip. Indeed, bad character ruins deeds just as vinegar ruins honey. So that's a warning from the Prophet ﷺ. Don't go doing all of these good deeds and ruining them by having bad character, by being mean, right? By giving people attitude. Don't ruin your good deeds. So, inshallah, just a reminder, I want you all to go on the website under resources. You'll see Dhul Hijjah, 10 easy good deeds. Print this out. Print it out for your family members. Tell them about it. And then every day you could check off which ones you do, inshallah. This is just a reminder to keep it for yourself, inshallah. And then don't come on the day of Eid and throw away all of your good deeds. Don't do that, sisters. Advice from myself first and foremost. Don't let the day of Eid come and forget all the good deeds and forget that that's one of the 10 days. Don't waste it on something that's not worth it. That advice is from myself first and foremost. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the life to live and witness these blessed 10 days. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes it easy for us to do all of these actions. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us sincerity in all that we do. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all of our hardships and our anxieties and our sorrows. Because only He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what each and every one of us is going through. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate our suffering and the suffering of all the Muslims around the world, ya Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to guide our families and to guide our loved ones and to guide all the Muslims to all that He loves and to protect us from the evil whispers of shaitan and our own nafs. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed day in His blessed house that He gather us in the highest level of Jannah with the Prophet ﷺ the same way that He gathered us here. Ameen ya Rabbi Alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi Rabbi Alameen. Wa sallallahu sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Jazakumullahu khairan. And inshaAllah, I believe we will have class next week, but then the week after will be the Eid break, so we won't have class. Inshallah, next week we'll be doing the name of Allah, and inshallah, next week it will be from the days of Dhul Hijjah, inshallah. So remember your great reward, and remember the reward of coming to the masjid. So inshallah, I will see you all next week. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wal 'asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihati wa tawassaw bil haqqi.